This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Happy New Year. Today we're concluding our series of favorite entertainment and pop culture interviews of 2011. Later, we'll hear from comic Louis C.K. First, we have Seth MacFarlane, the creator of the animated comedy series Family Guy, American Dad, and The Cleveland Show. He does a lot of voices for the series, like Peter, the father on Family Guy.
How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Seth MacFarlane not only does voices on his shows, he often sings in those voices. But in 2011, he released an album on which he sings in his own voice. It's called Music is Better Than Words, and it features songs that MacFarlane loves from the American Popular Songbook, including several he's trying to rescue from obscurity, like this one, called It's Anybody's Spring. It was written by Johnny Burke and Jimmy Van Heusen, who wrote a lot of songs for Sinatra. This song was written for the 1946 film Road to Utopia, in which it was sung by Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. Here's Seth MacFarlane.
You think that money is everything, and yet it's anybody's spring. Go make a fortune, become a king, and still it's anybody's spring. And if you flash a bankroll, do you suppose a brook would care, or that a rose would say, hey, there goes a millionaire? It's more than diamonds around a ring, because it's anybody's spring. You may be born with a silver spoon, and yet it's anybody's moon. You couldn't buy a ticket to hear the first robin sing. It's free because it's anybody's spring.
So that's Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy and American Dad, and this is from his new CD, Music is Better Than Words. So it's amazing to hear you singing without irony, like you're not singing a Stewie, you know, you're not singing as a cartoon character. There's no quotes around what you're doing. You're just
right. You're
singing your heart out, and it sounds really good. Tell me if I got this right, that you took vocal lessons with two people who had been Sinatra's vocal coaches.
Yeah, they trained everybody under the sun. They trained Streisand at one point, Lee and Sally Sweetland, who were both in their 90s when I met up with them about 10 years ago in L.A. And Lee passed away last year. His wife Sally has actually just turned 100 a few days ago. And their son Steve has kind of taken over the business, and that family has been invaluable. As far, I mean, they really drill you. They teach you the old style way of singing with no you know, back when you had no electronic help, you just got to go in and be able to do it.
So, what did you learn from them that you otherwise might not have known?
God, there are many things. The thing that comes to mind most of all is show your teeth. And, you know, if you look at old photos of Sinatra while he's singing, there's a lot of very, very exposed teeth. And that was something that Lee Sweetland just hit on day in and day out, and correctly so, because it just brightens the whole performance. It's basically moving your lips out of the way to let the sound come out.
Were you in musicals when you were in high school?
Well, I started young. When I was about 9 years old, I was in The Sorcerer, the Gilbert and Sullivan operetta. And then when I got into high school, Anything Goes, I remember, Little Shop of Horrors, Carousel. So a real wide variety of shows.
So when you were young, were you in The Music Man? Because you seem to like Meredith Wilson, who wrote the score.
I was never. That's one of my big regrets. I was never in The Music Man, and I always loved that show.
Well, your new album gives you the opportunity to do a song from that show, and I thought we'd play that one now. It's called "The Sadder But Wiser Girl for Me," and you do it with a lot of pizzazz. I like this a lot. Do you want to say anything about choosing it?
You know, this is a song that in keeping with our goal of choosing less performed material for this record, this is a song that you don't really hear recorded in pop music. I don't know that I've ever heard – I'm sure they're out there. I have never heard a recording of this song outside the –
Me neither. Unlike, say, 76 Trombones.
Right. There's a lot of recordings of that. But no, I've never heard the Sadder But Wiser Girl recorded, and it's such a likely candidate for like a really, really, you know, barn burner of a swing tune.
Okay, so this is Seth MacFarlane from his new album, Music is Better Than Words.
No sweet and pure angelic lass for me. That kind of gal can spin a web, you see. She trades on wholesome innocence galore, but it's my independence that she's trading for. The only affirmative she will file refers to marching down the aisle. No golden, glorious, gleaming, pristine goddess. No, sir, for no Diana do I play for, and I can tell you that right now. I snarl, I hiss, how can ignorance be compared to bliss? I spark, I fizz, for the lady who knows what time it is. I cheer, I rave, for the virtue I'm too late to save. The sadder but wiser girl for me. No bright-eyed, blushing, breathless baby doll baby. No, sir, that kind of child ties knots. No sailor ever knew. I prefer to take a chance on a more adult romance. No dewy young miss who keeps resisting. All the time she keeps insisting. No wide-eyed, wholesome, innocent female. Why, she's the fisherman, I'm the fish, you'll see. I flinch, I shy, when the lass with a delicate air goes by. I smile, I grin, when the gal with a touch of sin walks in. I hope and I pray for Hester to win just one more A. The sadder but wiser girl for me.
That's Seth MacFarlane from his new album, Music is Better Than Words, and it's his first album singing in his own voice. He's known best as the creator of Family Guy, American Dad, and The Cleveland Show, three comedy animated series. So, you know, we've talked a little bit about choosing songs to sing on your new album. Let's talk about writing the theme for Family Guy, because this is the curtain raiser every week. It's a big production number. There's actually, you know, top hat and cane and chorus line. And the theme seems modeled in part on the All in the Family theme that, you know, Archie and Edith Bunker used to sit at the piano and sing, you know, waxing nostalgic about the olden days.
Right. Tonally, yeah, and you actually see the, you know, Peter and Lois sitting there at the piano at the beginning. Yeah, you know, thematically, it is very much you know, in the same vein. I think the difference is we're speaking a bit more. I think that was a very sincere opening with Family Guy. It's a bit more sardonic. There's a bit more irony to the tone for obvious reasons.
Yes, in part that you're so crude, you'd hardly
be yearning for the
olden days.
It's like, where are all those nice, friendly, happy family TV shows that we remember? Here's one.
So was this one of your first outings writing a song?
It was, yeah. Yeah. You know, I luckily had the music of Walter Murphy to work with. I mean, this is a great... just a great melody writer. He's written, you know, three themes for us, you know, the Family Guy theme, American Dad theme, and the Cleveland Show theme. And the movie that I've just finished directing, Ted, he's composed two songs for that. He's just really his stuff is very easy to set lyrics to.
So let's hear the Family Guy theme. And so this is music by Walter Murphy and lyrics by my guest, Seth MacFarlane, the creator of the show.
It seems today that all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV.
But where are those good old-fashioned values on which we used to rely?
Lucky there's a Family Guy. and cry.
He's a Family Guy.
So that's the Family Guy theme, the animated TV show created by my guest Seth MacFarlane.
And that was, you know, it's funny. One of the few remaining, and it's a shame, but one of the few remaining television themes that airs every week. It's a tradition that's kind of going away, and part of that is that the networks are worried that people don't want to sit through the same thing week after week, that people are going to change the channel, and so shows are being discouraged from writing themes. We actually had to fight pretty hard to do to be able to do a theme, because I thought no, people aren't going to want it. It's going to bore people. They're going to switch away. And I think what they don't realize is that no, this is showmanship is showmanship. It hasn't changed in hundreds of years. It's a drum roll. It basically says, yeah, hey, here comes a show. It's Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck walking out onto the stage doing, you know, this is it. You know, it gets the audience psyched up.
With the American Dad theme, and American Dad is about a dad who's also a CIA agent, the American Dad theme sounds like it was inspired in part by The Music Man.
Not consciously. I suppose, you know, any march is or anything that has trombones and piccolos and bassoons and whatever else is probably, you know, it might evoke 76 trombones, but no, it was sort of meant to be, you know,
more military,
aggressively, just an aggressively patriotic piece of music, you know, to reflect Stan Smith's point of view.
Do you want to talk about writing it?
Yeah, I mean that was a theme that you know we wanted something different than the Family Guy theme. The Family Guy theme is very much, and the Family Guy bumpers, which are essentially those little pieces of music that you hear every time you see the Griffin's house, the little snippets of the Family Guy theme have a very distinct swing tune to them, a very distinct swing tone. And American Dad, we wanted to give it something different. And so you hear a lot more snare drum, you hear a lot more, a lot more of a, as you say, yeah, military tone. But it was supposed to be aggressively cheerful, aggressively patriotic, aggressively optimistic, like, hey, everything's still fine, you know, here I am, Mr. White guy waking up to his white bread family, you know, just like, you know, Stan Smith's delusional happiness that the world has not changed around him. And, you know, that's kind of what that was supposed to evoke.
So here's the American Dad theme with music by Walter Murphy and lyric by Seth MacFarlane, who created that show, as well as Family Guy and The Cleveland Show. And here's the theme.
Good morning, USA. I got a feeling that it's gonna be a wonderful day. The sun in the sky has a smile on his face, and he's shining a salute to the American race. Oh boy, it's swell to say,
good morning, USA.
Good morning, USA.
So that's the theme from the show, the animated series American Dad, which was created by my guest Seth MacFarlane. And that's you singing too, right?
Yeah.
And that's you singing on the Family Guy theme too.
Correct. Singing in character voices is actually... People ask often, is it hard? And it's like, no, it's actually a hell of a lot easier than singing straight.
Why?
Because you're singing in a character voice. It's almost like there's a shield of sorts around it, because we assume Peter Griffin probably shouldn't be able to sing all that well. So you can kind of keep it loose and you don't have to really think too much about it. It's more work to sing straight.
Well, how about singing in Stewie's voice? Can you talk in his voice for a second?
Why don't you talk in his voice? I'm sick to death of it. You draggle-tailed, blunt-edged gutter snipe.
Okay, but now singing in his voice has to be tricky, no?
You know, again, not really, because it's not like you have to maintain shades of subtlety. It's Stewie. I mean, it's Stewie singing is essentially Rex Harrison singing in My Fair Lady. I mean,
Stewie sings better than Rex Harrison. Stewie has more range than Rex Harrison has.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe after that Bryan Adams song, yeah. But yeah, I mean, but again, it doesn't have to be as rich, doesn't have to be quite as textured. It's a different type of character than the character that you try to put into a straight ballad or a straight swing tune.
So let's get back to the creation of Family Guy. What was the basic idea that the series grew out of?
Well, I mean, I had been studying animation for a while, been interested in animation, and when The Simpsons came about, I, at the time, was really interested in becoming an animator for Disney. Disney was having sort of their renaissance in the film world with movies like The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast, and that was what I wanted to do. And then here comes The Simpsons that says, hey, you know what? You can also do this. We're completely rewriting the rule book with regard to what you can do on television. And I was laughing. You know, this is something that actually was for me. It wasn't for necessarily for a family audience. Like me as a single guy with sort of an edgier sense of humor in what I was looking for. I was doing stand-up at the time and, you know, enjoying that and enjoying working with kind of more risque humor. And so I decided to develop an animated idea. And, you know, I looked to my own region in this case, where I was brought up, for character ideas. And, you know, Peter Griffin is very, very much the quintessential big, fat, you know, loud New England guy who is very, very good at the core, big-hearted guy, but just has zero self-editing mechanism, you know, no yeah. idea what is appropriate and inappropriate. And you kind of have to forgive him because he just doesn't know any better. And I knew so many of those guys. My father knew tons of those guys when we were living back east.
Was he one of them?
My father, no. Ironically, my father was very much, you know, very liberal, very intellectual, but a lot of his friends were, you know, more like Peter.
Okay, to illustrate your point about Peter having, like, no sense of what's appropriate, this is a scene from the 100th episode of Family Guy, and Peter and his wife Lois are on a cruise, and they have the privilege of sitting for dinner at the captain's table. And as this clip begins, the captain is telling this inspiring story, and then Peter talks next.
And that was the first time I saw the Northern Lights at their peak. And as I gazed, astonished at their lustrous brilliance, I turned to my first mate and I said, "We are looking into the very eyes of God."
Ah, what a wonderful story.
All right, I got one for you. So me and Lois are driving up to Vermont to get this abortion.
Peter!
Hang on, Lois, don't ruin it. All right, so we're driving up to get this abortion, and we get to the abortion clinic, and the abortionist has one hand.
Peter, for
God's sake! I'll tell it. So I turn to Lois and I says, "You want to get an abortion here? You want to get an abortion with the abortionist having a stump hand? We can't get an abortion here." So we turned around and went home, and 2.5 months later, our daughter Meg was born.
I love that taxpayer dollars just paid for you to air that. This is national public radio.
That is such a funny clip.
This is why the Republicans hate us.
But this is like, if you want to get an inappropriate story, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I also love watching couples fight about how to tell a story and whether to tell a story.
Yeah.
And that's just like the quintessential version of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what kind of reaction did you get to that scene?
You know, we never really know what is going to raise the ire of the more conservative members of our audience. I don't think we ever really got any flack from that.
Because it's not really about whether abortion is right or wrong. It's about how wildly inappropriate he is in his storytelling.
He just doesn't know. I mean, it's an extreme example, but it's like that, you know, from my experience back east, not that extreme.
Seth MacFarlane, thank you so much for talking with us. It's really been fun. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you.
Seth MacFarlane is the creator of American Dad, Family Guy, and The Cleveland Show. His album is called Music is Better Than Words. Our interview was recorded in October when it was released. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Darling, you and I know the reason why those summer skies are blue. And we know why birds in the trees and why love will grow from the first hello until the last goodbye. So to sweet romance, there is just one answer. You and I. Darling, you and I.